Alright, so we're starting on the top of Samachem and Aleph. So it's a continuation a little bit of the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara mentioned about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, was the evidence that you could be matir with no lud, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that you could go back to Mitzrayim, and made to Kol Anashim, right, that those who were after you are no longer a problem for you. Now, the Gemara is going to bring another proof from that story regarding the Dharma. Gemara brings down a Braisa, which makes a statement, which is unclear about what the exact statement means. That's the, and then we'll see the Rishonim here, how they explain the statement. And then we'll see what the proof is from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the first line in the Gemara on Samachayim and Avos Tanya. Hamodar Ano Michavero. Someone takes a Neder Anah from his friend, in Matir and Lalel Bechmanov. He only b'matir it in front of him. And so now the question is, what is the meaning of this statement? Seems to be, why do you need anybody else? Why do you need anybody else's approval to get Hataras Nedarim? And why is it relevant what his friend is thinking or seeing in terms of his Neder? So that's what all the Rishonim have to deal with here is, what is this one line in the Gemara that's cryptic, what do they have to do with it? So the Rush brings down, if you look in the Rush, we have the Rush on this Talmud, brings down from Rav Elezer Mimitz. It says that Rav Elezer Mimitz means Bifanav, that does not literally mean in front of him, but Bifanav, the term is used other words in Shastra, is Midato, from his, right, with his approval. So he says, if the person originally took the Neder of the Das Kaviru, right, then in Matir Melo B'fanav Perish Midato, you can only be Matirit with his Das. So why? The question with that is why? I mean, why do you need your friend's Das in order to be Matirit Neder? So the Rush, if you skip down to the Rush until the wider lines in the Rush, the second wide in the wide lines in the Rush, not the widest, but the wide lines in the Rush, the second line down, it says, but Lishna Damodar Ano Alo Mashma Perisho. The Rush rejects the Perisho of Rebbe Elezer Mimitz. Elamashma, shenader hanami menu bifanav. Took another hanah from him in front of him. Betzarkshi atzilo lechatchila bifanav. And lechatchila, when you're mad to the ned, you have to do it in front of this person who you took the nether in front of. Mufarish time of Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi gives the reason why. Bipnei chashad, bipnei busha. Because of chashad and because of busha. The cave in the chaver yodeh shenader imenu. Since his friend knows that he took an edavim, lo yadak mokein v'hatara, if he doesn't make him aware of the hatara, yachshedenosh mezazel b'nidro, he'll suspect that he's being mezazel b'nidro. Gam tzarech shitvayesh b'fnav b'hatara. He also has to be embarrassed in front of him and during the hatara. Shubana fanav matziro bal korcho v'nzarech tato. But when he's making the neder, he doesn't need his friend's permission. And he can do the hatara's nedarim without any, you know, Das, meaning that without permission or without acknowledgement of his friend. So the Rush says something which begins to, you know, move down the lines of a different shot here. But the Rush says that the issue of Bifanav means that you have to literally do it in front of your friend. Not that you need his permission, but you have to do it in front of him. Why? Because he brings down from the Yishami, he brings two terms from the Yishami, Bnei Chashad and Bnei Abusha. One of them he explains, the other one he doesn't, and truthfully it's very difficult, the second one, why he mentions it at all. And we'll see in Tosfos in a second that Tosfos only mentions the Chashad aspect of it. But here he says what? That if he takes a neder about his friend in front of his friend, and then his friend sees him out later on violating the neder, he'll think, well, this guy's mezalz on the darim, why is he not keeping his neder? So that means the requirement that she atir the fanav. If he's going to get the atari, he should also have to do it in front of his friend, so the one who knew about the neder will also know about the hatara. And therefore when he is violates the neder, it won't be a chashad that he's violating the neder, but rather it'll be simply that the friend knows that he has hataras nedar. So that makes sense to be a chashad, because he suspects him. But what are you going to do with me? Why does he have to be embarrassed about it? What does that have to do with hataras nedar here at all? The embarrassment. So if you look in Tosfos, look at Tosfos, the first Tosfos also, it's not a mudar a mudar chanav v'chanav erosh, another b'fanav, shlo yanem imenu, im matir melo fanav, only matir in front of him. V'chora mashmo, de lo fanav, hainu de bai midato, so that's Rabbi Elezer Mimitz, right, that you require his understanding. V'kasha, tachalo shayach, why do you need your friend's approval? Shari neder miatmo, shlo yanem chavero, he took a neder himself, but he won't get enough from his friend, why should it be relevant to what his friend thinks? Then Shvuos, Shum Savarash, he'd start Dakal the Hatir Nidro. Why would you ever need his permission to be Matan the Nether? Right? That's only because of shad. That's what the Rosh mentions. That's the proof the Gemara is going to. So then he goes, he mentions that the proof that we're going to see in a second that the Gemara sounds like that, that you only need to do it in front of him so he's aware of it, but not because you require his permission. Now, if you skip down in this Tosfos all the way towards the end, there's a little like parentheses with the star in it in the Tosfos. I don't know if you see that. The parentheses in the star towards the end of this Divrei Maskil in the Maskil in the Tosfos. And he says over there, "Deloka Perish Rabbeinu Tam." Deloka Perish Rabbeinu Tam. You see that? Why is that for you guys?
It's the second to last skinny line.
Unless the second to last skinny line in the Tosfos. It says, "Deloka Perish Rabbeinu Tam." The Gittin. This is again the Perish Rabbeinu Tam. The Gittin. Shemafarish V'Dorash Asalot Tova Yedei Neder. Now the Rabbeinu Tam, now here we're getting the first glimpse of something new here, and this is what the sheet of the Ran takes, is what the problem here is that it's a ned that he took for some sort of benefit for his friend. Case is here is that he took his moder hana, but he did something that was to the benefit of his friend. And so now, this makes more sense. If you take a neder that benefits your friend, then why can you can't be matir the neder without getting his permission, right? Or out being in front of him so that he's aware of the fact that you're being matir the neder. Here you did something that was to his benefit, and now all of a sudden you're going to reverse it. You need him there to reverse it in order that he understands that you're reversing it.
So right? Reversing it is causing a benefit, or
no,
the actual neder
itself? The actual neder itself was to his benefit. Yeah, it said the original letter. Right. So that's it's the other way, right? He has a benefit from it. So that's the way the Ram learns. And that explains, because otherwise, according to the Rush, it's really cryptic why you need Mipnei HaKshad, Mipnei HaBusha. We'll see in the Ram in a second about this Nushalmi. But according to the Tosfos, it's just Mipnei HaKshad. So you can understand Midato, the Rabbezim means Midato, that you need your friend's permission. Doesn't, why would you need your friend's permission to ever to be matir and neder? It's your neder. Go to the chacham. You get him at hatar's nedarim. Why do you need your friend's permission? So that's why both the Rosh and the Tosfos reject it. Now the Tosfos says that it's mi'afshad, which you can understand. If you make a neder in front of a friend, you have to be matir in front of a friend because otherwise they'll suspect you of violating the neder. Seems very simple. And Tom has a different shot, and he learns bifanav means midato also. Midato means with his permission, but in a sense midato is because the nether was made for his benefit. Right? You made the nether because you had some obligation to him or you felt that you wanted to do something for him. And now you're going to go reverse it. It's almost like a backhanded thing that you're going behind his back to reverse the nether that was really to his benefit. So the man said, before you do that, it has to be before now, or me the ato. So let's see the Ran now. Now you can understand the Ran. He quotes the Yerushalmi. So let's see by the Yerushalmi. I just started beginning to run, make it easy. Igeman Tomar, Tadapka Shinadar Litsura Khaveiro. So when he took a net of Litsura Khaveiro, Shinadar Moshe Litra, Lishavi Mo, Hanato. For his benefit, Kushavuat, Sidkiel, and Buchanetzer. We'll see these are both in the Gemara upcoming minute. The Maisi Bishamok Shaita Litolet, Kadeshali Vazu. All these are Nadar, and they're the benefit of the friend. This is, sounds like the Rabbeinu Tom. Aval Nedar Shinadar Shalod Litsura Khaveiro, Matirin Lo Shalod Bifanelf. What's the first friend's benefit? You can be matter it, shalom b'fanav, because it's not relevant to him whether you're matter the nether or not. Mistaver d'ha milsa talya, b'may the plig of Yerushalmi. This issue has to do with the machlokas in Yerushalmi, b'tayma, d'eimachim lo elo b'fanav. Why can't you be matter nether in front of him? Right? Why is that? Ikeman d'amar ha'otam taymi milsa b'fnei abusha. One verse, d'man d'amar in Yerushalmi says it's because of the busha. Right, that what? Klomar, she bayesh mechaveiro, she anoda, neder hayal hanato, bakshevotsu sheyatirulo. There, now we start to see a glimpse about this busha issue, right, which is not what the Rush suggests, but the Ran suggesting here sounds more like Rabbeinu Tam. That what the reason you can't reverse it is that you have to be embarrassed. Here you made a neder for his benefit, and now you're going behind his back and being matir it. No, you gotta stand in front of him and be matir the neder, so that you're mitzvayesh. Right, what about Mipnei, or the other words, Miu Ika Yitayu Taima Hasam, there's another reason given to Yerushalmi, Mipnei Chashad, because of suspicion. Kama Shechaveru Shemodur Hamenu, Lo Yadab B'Heteiro, oh no, about this Heter, Shunana Mimenu Yakshadenu Shuvaral Nidro, and when he gets enough from him, he'll be a Chashad of an Heter. It has nothing to do with whether it's a benefit to his friend or not. Right? So the Ran now has explained the difference between Tosfos and the Rosh here and the Rabbeinu Tam is to do with which reason in the Yerushalmi you pick. Although again, I point out in the Rosh, he mentions B'nai Busha, it seems to be irrelevant you see that Tosfos doesn't even mention it. But there's two reasons that he said, the Yerushalmi gives why you have to be Matur Neder in front of your friend. One is B'nai Busha, that you should be embarrassed that you're being Matur Neder. Why should you be embarrassed that you're Matur Neder? What's the point of you being embarrassed that you're being Matur Neder? The answer is that it was to your friend's benefit. You made a Neder that was really something that was for him or for his benefit. And if you want to go be Matur Neder, we want you to stand in front of him and be Matur Neder in front of him so that he's aware that you're reversing this Tovo. Otherwise, you know, why should you be allowed to take away something you did for him? Without his either permission or without him actually knowing that knowledge. It doesn't even have to be his permission, but his knowledge that it's happening, so that you stand in front of him and you're willing to, without, you know, right to his face, say, I'm reversing the nether. I can't stand by this nether anymore. Right now, the other possibility is chashad, and the suspicion. That is, we made sense in the Rabbeinu Tam, Tosas in the Rosh, that the reason here is that we suspect, the guy's going to suspect you for not keeping to your word. So if you took the nether in front of him, then you have to reverse the nether in front of him. And even if you didn't take it in front of him, it seems to be the Ran is suggesting that if you're mudar anar from your friend, that you have to be matir, because then he won't know that you reversed the nether. And then he says, the Ran continues, he says, v'ika l'hai time and apilu, l'hai time apilu nerushal
The two Ika,
Ben Anik Tradlish. There's another Nachkamina between them. The Lamandam of Nechashad Koshi Diu Matrin Lo Afilish Lo Bapanav. That's an amazing Nachkamina, right? If the whole reason of Bapanav is a problem of Chashad, is a problem that he might not know that you've Matin the Nether, as long as you tell him that you were Matin the Nether, then you should be fine. Bapanav is not going to be literally in front of him. Bapanav means that is he just has to be aware, right? Aware of it. Not so Ledato. Ledato means his permission. So we're not going to say Ledato, but right that he needs to have Das about it. Right? But the Dato, when here the Rishonim use the word Dato, they literally mean his permission. That Ledato. But here he needs to just be aware of the fact. Whereas Amadavar Pnei Busha, I feel hold to you. Dafka b'fanov. This is a very important principle in psychology, right? Even though you make him aware of the reversal by Busha, that's not sufficient. Why? To chosh lo b'fanov like a Busha. The real embarrassment is standing in front of him and being matir the neder. Meaning that if you tell him about it, even though it's a little embarrassing, that's not what we're after. What we're after is when you have to stand face to face, right, with the person who, you did a tova for that you was expecting something from you. And probably because they also had done something for you. You need a busha. I mean, you need to stand in front of them, and that's the real busha. Right? We have that by, Modem Mixas, Dein Meza, Adam, Fana Bifal, Dein. That a person who's done a matova, at least Rashi's interpretation, that a person who's done a matova, yeah, you won't be mayis, so brazen to stand in front of him, you'd be embarrassed. He did you something, a tova, that you won't stand in front of him and lie entirely in front of you, kofar bakol. Right? So to hear, the Ran says that busha is a requirement of literally face to face interaction.
Also, the busha is intention of general discouragement of taking the dharma is if you know that that if you don't listen to that in order to undo it, you're going to have to not only, you know, ask a chacham, but you're going to have to do it b'fnei chaver, then that's more, you know, that additional consequence might be more discouraging to being the neder in the first place.
It's going to be a disincentive to do a Torah. Right, it's the other way. It's once he's taken the net, and now he's in a disincentive to do a Torah.
But you know, he'll just violate it, or he'll just stick to the net?
He'll stick to the net, because he doesn't want to be embarrassed.
The net there is uncomfortable enough, he could have a stronger incentive to do a Torah.
We've generally said when we come to a Torah, I'm not being so well upset, I think that it's a possibility. I'm just saying that, but generally when we've seen the Torah, that the Gemara is ma'adif, as we saw by Rabbi Natan, that if we're ma'adif Torah, over keeping the nether. We'd rather you do Hatara than that. So I don't know if they would put a disincentive in place that would really cause a person not to be mad to the nether.
The question would be, is it you think it would be more likely, it would be less likely to prevent from taking the nether than to...
Right, because people don't think, the whole idea of Hatara, he didn't think of consequences. He wasn't really so focused on the real issues at hand. He just was, you know, it was a spontaneous neder, and that's what a petach harat is about. All right. Now, I may as well just, alright, you know what, we'll read the next Gemara and then we'll come back to the Ran, because the Ran's really referencing the next two pieces in the Gemara that all the Rishonim have to deal with here, but the next two pieces in the Gemara. Alright, now, so now the Gemara says, V'na ha'ni mili, and you even know that you have to be mad and neder in front of your friend. So I'm Rav Nachman Zechtiv, Ayom Hashem El Moshe B'midyan, Lech Shub Mitzrayim. Right, so it says in Mitzrayim, go back to Mitzrayim. Hashem comes to Moshe, says, you can go back to Mitzrayim, Ki Meitu Glan Hashem, Amachim and Nam Shecha, that those people that are after you are now gone. So Mar says, what? I'm a little b'midjan adarta. Lech letar nadarecha b'midjan. You took the nether in Midjan. So go back to Midjan and be mat in the nether. Again, all of these are going to depend on what you think the issue is, right? So you have to be, what does it mean that you have to take mat to the nether in Midjan? Right, so according to the Ran, what's that going to mean? That he has to go back in front of, possibly in front of Yitro. He took the nether to Yitro to say, I will not return to Mitzrayim. Why? Because there are these bad people there. So he either has to, right, either he has to go back, he gets Hashem is my mat to the nether, he says they're no longer alive, Kol Mavakshim and Shechar are no longer alive. So now, based on that fact, he wants to Tars Nadarim. So now, does he need Yitro to know about it? Does he need to do it in front of Yitro? What are the requirements here? So if you think like the Rush, or if you think like those that think it's a Pneach Shad, he just has to make Yitro aware of the fact that he's mocking the Nether, that's why he's going back to Mitzrayim. But he's not violating the Nether. Whereas if you believe like the Ran, the possibility the issue is Mipneach Husha, right, then he has to literally be Matur Nether Bifnei Yitro. He has to do it literally in front of Yitro because it was Tovas Yitro. Basically, he was going to stay, right, by his father-in-law's house. Now he's going back to Mitzrayim. And even though really his father-in-law took the, made him take the nether for his own benefit, meaning that he shouldn't go back to these dangerous people, he starts to be mocked in the nether now in front of Yitro.
Right, also they didn't want to take his daughter.
Right, right. Well, that, right. But the Rishonim don't mention that here, but I think, right, the Tovaso could have simply been, he wanted his grandkids here, he wanted his wife here, but they mentioned the fact that he took the nether was because Yitro was afraid of him going back to Mitzrayim. Alright, so now, it says, Dechtiv Vayom Moshe, right, it says, Vayom Moshe Ta'ish. Right, when Moshe stays by Yitro, it says, Vayo El Moshe. What does Vayo El mean? Ein Allah Ela Shvu'a. The term Allah, Yoel, right, means taking a Shvu'a. Dechtiv Vayavo Yito Ba'Allah. Right, that he came to with an Allah. So Allah is a Shvu'a. And we see that Moshe says, when he comes to Yitro, stays by his house, it says, Vayo El Moshe, Hashevet Ha'ish, right, that he stays by Yitro. So why does it have a Yoel? What's the lesson of Yoel? Yoel is that he took a Shvu'a to stay there, meaning because he won't go back to Mitzrayim. And then only does Yitro give him his daughter to marry. He gives him to Tzipporah to marry. Alright. V'gam, v'melech nevutar marad. Asher yishbi'o belukim. And Tzidkiyo was moreh ben Nebuchadnezzar. That made him took a shavua with Hashem's name. My marjute. What did Tzidkiyo do that he was moreh, right, ben Nebuchadnezzar? It says, Ashkechei Tzidkiyo, Nebuchadnezzar, davakachla nogokhaya. Tzidkiyo found Nebuchadnezzar that he was eating a live rabbit. Alright, so now, live rabbit could either mean that he was eating it raw, or the other possibility is that he was Amir Menachai. He was eating it literally a lot. Amalei Shabbali Dlamiglas Eloi, right? Velo Tzipuk Milsa. Says, make sure, take a Shavua that you will not reveal this to anybody, so this word won't go out about me. Ishtabai, took a Shavua. What Nebuchadnezzar was exactly worried about, I'm not sure. I mean, even if it was not particularly appealing, I'm not sure why that was, he was so afraid that this got out. But Shonim later on said that he felt like it was...
That he did worse things.
Right. Right. There are other Gemaras about this, about with the Nevi Chaya, about his wife, and about his, what actually transpired here. But alright, at least this meaning of the Gemara doesn't seem to be so great, you know, such a grievous crime that he would want it not to get out, but that was his name, he took a Shavua. The Sof, this is even more, you know, perplexing. The Sof, Hava Kamet Shtaratit Kiyahu Begufa. Gufa. Tzidkiyahu was dying to reveal the information that he had. You know, this is, some people can't, you know, if they have something to say, something juicy, they need to say it. And he was having body aches over the fact that he couldn't say this. He couldn't reveal what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. So that's, Rashi says over here, say, Mavazino Tobine Olam. So maybe that was that people would, you know, be Mavazino Nebuchadnezzar, who already was doing such horrible things, actually, that people would think negatively of him even though he was one of the most powerful person at that time, right? In the world, he was conquering the known world at that time. But Zedekiah was in pain. So what does he do? Itchel Ashuasa, of course, he goes gets a petach, right? Lanidro, right? Va'amar Shama Nebuchadnezzar, and then he told everybody. Shama Nebuchadnezzar come about in life. So Nebuchadnezzar hears from a whisper behind the wall that people are talking about him eating this rabbit. And guess what? There's only one guy who knew about that. That was Zedekiah. So the fact is, he knows it. Shalach Haiti Sanhedrin with Zedekiah calls for the Sanhedrin and Zedekiah to come appear before him. Amalon Chazito and Micah of Zedekiah. You see what Zedekiah did. I love Hoki Yishtabo, right? This is, he took a Shavua that he would not b'shmat, b'shmei Shmaya, that he took it in the name of Hashem, to Lom Aglina, that he will not reveal it. So the Sanhedrin said back to him, Le'ich Alei Yashvuata. So he said, I'm sorry, Tzidkiyahu said back, I got a petach to my Shavua. I got a petach on my Shavua. Amalei Mitzhada and Ashvuata. So the Nebuchadnezzar says to the Sanhedrin, are you allowed to do such a thing? Is there such a thing as a petach to Shavua? Amalei in? So I'm a little b'fanav, or feel a shalom b'fanav. When you get a petach haneder, are you have to do it in front of him, or shalom b'fanav, are you allowed to do it not in front of him? So I'm a little b'fanav, has to be done in front of the person that you took the neder for. So here, he took the neder in front, because it was for Nebuchadnezzar, so he should have had to be matir the neder in front of the Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar says, what's going on here? So I'm a lehon v'atun my v'atun. Right, so if that's the case, my time alo amriton, why didn't you tell Tzidkiyahu that he was incorrect, right, in getting a tetach l'neder? So the Gemara says, miyad yashvu lo aretz, edmuzik nebatzion, they were thrown to the ground in silence. They pulled out the cushions from under them. Whatever exactly transpired here afterwards, it was clear that Nebuchadnezzar was not happy with Zedekiah and not happy with the Sanhedrin, and that ended up in them both getting, it's called punished, or being degraded by Zedekiah. So now what's the point of this Gemara here? What did the Gemara just do? The Gemara talked about the fact that you need a petach l'neder, you have to be in front of your friend. Right? So here we see what happened. Sanhedrin did it even not in front of Nebuchadnezzar. And so first of all, is that a proof to what we were saying, or is that making a point that you don't have to do it the fun of? Right?
According to the dialogue, they acknowledge that they did wrongly. They said that it has to be the fun of.
Right, but yet they still did it. So why did they still do it? All right, so this is a discussion. There are two ma'alchim in the Rishonim about how to deal with this, about what the whole story here is and what it means. So we'll read in the Ran. I'll simplify it, we'll just read in the Ran. He gives both sides of the picture here. But the question is, why by Moshe and by Tzidkiyahu, what's taking place? And so what do they have relevance to the cases that we had above? So if you go back to the Ran, the haste of the habit for fun of. Right, it says, the Ran says, Eichad habit for fun of, it's in front of your friend, Ubal Korcho Shul Chavero. Right, and it's against his will, Shita de Matirin. But Neder Shein Allah Hatan and Toshul Chavero. It's simple, when it's not an office friend, then it's not. Abba Neder Shul Ganato. And if it's not a friend, he needs his das, he needs his permission. Alright, so if you require his permission, when it's for his tova, you need his permission, then what happens if you go ahead and do it anyway? They're mata the nether, even without his friend's permission. Is nether mutar, or is the nether lo mutar? Right, so now, if you skip, Gemara says, he brings a proof from the Gemara in Gittin. We could skip, do you want to read? All right, we'll read the proof. The Parak HaSholech Mashmet, the Eved Hutar and Eder. The Parak HaSholech Mashmet, that is, the Marmina Hatam, Gabi Hitkin, Rabbi Gamil, Shino, Derdli, Tomim. Gamil made a takana that the Almona has to take a Neder to the Yisomim. Lo Shalosh Shalom Nisait, right, that's what she didn't get married, Farchinim, Lechosh Duma Azul, the Gabi Chokom, Bisharila. So what if she took a Neder to the Yisomim? She can go and be Mate the Neder, right? Where it says, the Evid Nami Lo Mahani, Kazal Gabi Chokhim, I have. The fact that she goes to the Chokhim to be Madan and Neder, why should that be relevant if she needs Das, the Yisomim? It's for the benefit, she took a Neder for the benefit of the Yisomim. She took a Neder for the benefit of Yisomim, why should she be able to go to Chokhim to be Madan and Neder? The fact that the Gemara's Koshesh, that she'll do such, Ta Neder Amana Lanasi Tomimu, Elishmamina, the Filon Eschaveros, Koshesh to be the Evid Mutar. The Bidi Evid, if you do a Pesach and Neder, she'll be fun of, it will be okay, it'll work. Here the Sanhedrin was Matan Edifer Tzidkiyahu. How could Mitzid Kiyo go ahead and be mad? They were mad at it, and then he went and revealed it. But if it doesn't work, the Tars Nedarim doesn't work at all, then how could Mitzid Kiyo go and reveal it afterwards? Mashmati Evid Shari. It's okay if it's a Gyo, but the Chatchila, how did the Sanhedrin be, how would they matter him? That's for Chatchila. They were matter the Nether. That's for its bar mitzvah, it's mutar to be matter a Nether, even Solomon to ask Havero. He was in a lot of pain, because he couldn't reveal it. Because of that, he was not learning as much Torah, he wasn't doing as many mitzvot, it was bothering to the point that it was affecting his spiritual life. And therefore it's considered a mitzvah. And we know that you're matir neder l'makom mitzvah. Begam mitzvah samelech. The king asked the Sanhedrin to do this. She mitzvah aleim latiro. Right? Because then it's a mitzvah ram to be matir, mitzvah heish, aleim l'kayim. Because if he says something, they should listen to him, the Sanhedrin. The kach tertzu b'tosfos. That's a p'tei b'tosfos.
Can you say it's in the two svaros in the Yerushalmi? First, the
kashad, and one's
the kashad, and one's the kashad.
Right.
But there's a doy. He doesn't know. I mean, at least
he does. You see that he came back here and he said,
no, so every doy, every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows the Shulchan Aruch, knows Hoshin Mishpat, knows Hilchos.
No, but he knew. No, the problem was that he knew. He took a neder, b'shem Hashem, and now he's violating the neder. So he said it was a chil Hashem. The Chil Hashem, the Tidkiyo, didn't keep his side of the Nether. That's why he brings the Sanhedrin in. What do you mean?
That's why I find those words in the Sanhedrin, because no matter what, even if it's Mutar and Shulchanah, clearly it was going to be a Chil Hashem.
Right.
And there was he took a Shul of Hashem Hashem.
Right.
He took Nether, it was
a Shul, Hashem Hashem, which is also interesting. We have to determine whether there's Petach Hashem or not, right? That's with the discussion we had earlier. So whether this literally means a Shul or a Nether. But you see, he took a Shul B'Shem Hashem, and if it's Mivarech Shad, the least he would have to do is make the Mivarech Netzer aware of the fact that he's mad to the Nether. Even according to one who says Mivarech Shad, says that you have to let him know.
He'll find out once he hears that.
All right, exactly. But he wouldn't know why, so you can't take it. So that's the way Tosfos learns over here, that Ibid the Evid, if you have a Tars Nedarim, for some Shalom B'Fanav, it works, even though you didn't tell him, even though it's wrong. Ibid the Evid, it works. Why did the Sanhedrin matter for Tzidkiyo? Your matter because either was a mitzvah, he was being mevutal and melechet shemayim. It's an interesting reason. And so ignore a second that the king commanded it, Sanhedrin's got to listen. Now, he'll be v'acherim amru. So be looking around here. V'acherim amru shein elu rayot. Even if the Eved, Atar Sinurim doesn't work. The Pasuk clearly says that Tzidkiyo rebelled against the king of Nebuchadnezzar who he promised to. The Pasuk views him negatively for having violated the Nether.
And clearly punished.
Right, oh, so that's the next line. Very good. Look what happened to him in the Sanhedrin. Exactly, that the Nebuchadnezzar punishes them. Right, with Senate. And then he has to undermine the stuff from Kitin that she'll think it's Mutar. But either way, so you have two opinions here, and they've shown him about what the reason they brought down this Gemara by Tzidkiyo is, right? One possibility is about the Gemara by Tzidkiyo to show you that even though there's a requirement for Ataras Nedarim in front of the other party, nevertheless, if he doesn't do it in front of the other party, it works. That's one possibility of how to read the Gemara, because we see that the Sanhedrin did it for Tzidkiyo when Tzidkiyo was mutter to tell people, or he was mutter at when Tzidkiyo was a tzaddik, right? At least the way the view that he did keep the halacha. Right? Or the other possibility, like the right would suggest, no, that's exactly the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is to show you that Shalom B'Fanav is such a strong din, that if you don't do Shalom B'Fanav, the Hatar is not good. And that's why Tzidkiyo and the Sanhedrin were punished, or viewed negatively, because they did something that was inappropriate. If they wanted to be Matan Neder, they needed to do it in front of Nebuchadnezzar. So two ways to read the conclusion of this Gemara. Alright, Mishnah, new Mishnah. Alright, I'm going to say here, there are three ways to read this Mishnah on the Rishonim. Alright, there's the Rosh, there's Tosos, and there's the Ran. I had to read this Gemara, this Mishnah, and that is going to have an afkamina, because the Gemara is going to ask questions on this Mishnah, and the question is, what the question is based on what they do. So we'll read the Mishnah, I'll just read the Mishnah to do quickly, which should not, it's in some senses the Mishnah is very simple. All right, but then we'll have to deal with what the opinions is or what does the Mishnah mean. So let's, Rabbi Meir Omer, Yesh Dvarim Shein Kenolad. There's certain things that look like Nolad, Ve'inan Kenolad, and they're not Nolad. And Ve'inan Chachamim Modim Lo, Chachamim do not agree with him. Ketzer, what's the case? Anna, Elmar, Kelonim, Sheini, Noset, Loni, It shall be a Ra. I will not marry this girl because her father is horrible. Amr Lo Mace, they told him now that her father died. Osha Asa Tshuva, or now he thinks about Tshuva. Right, I won't go into this house. There's this awful dog inside of it. There's a snake inside of it. Right, the kelev died, the dog died, or the nachash was killed. They're like no lad, but they're not really no lad. The chachamim don't agree with him. So the Gemara reads, "Koneim sheni meis no lad who." Mar says very clearly that mace is nolad. It is yesterday in the discussion, but the Rosh says that nolad is only when a davar sheh eino shchiach, right? Then that shchiach is not considered, right, to be nolad. So here the Gemara clearly says mace, nolad. Mace is not considered shchiach. Dying is not considered shchiach. So therefore, how can we say over here, Rav Meir says it's like nolad, but it really isn't nolad. It is nolad. He died. The father-in-law, or the possible future father-in-law, died here. And so why is that not considered nolad? So Amar Ravuna Asik told the Bidnidra Obidova. So Ravuna basically says that there's almost an implicit tnai in his nether. He says, I will not marry this girl because her father is bad. I mean, the implication of his nether is that what is stopping him from marrying this girl is the presence of the father. So if the father is eliminated, how he's eliminated is not really relevant. Whether he dies or whether he's about tshuva, if the problem is eliminated, that's almost as if there's an implicit tonight in nether, then I will be able to marry this girl. Our problem with marrying the girl is the father. If the father goes away, then I could marry the girl. So who knows the simplest way to read the Mishnah, which is simply the Rebbe Meir is suggesting that there's such an implicit tnai in the nether. You know, it's not explicit. The fact that he mentions this item of the reason why he's taking the nether already allows us an opening to say that this is a condition of his nether. Same thing with Bayezet.
It was something that was considered. It was considered at the time of the nether. It's not considered Noah.
Right. Very good. That's right. If it was on his mind at that time. Although the possibility is not on his mind because the possibility was the other way around, which is that the father died. But that was what wasn't he thinking about. He was thinking about her father's bad, I will not marry this girl. He wasn't thinking the father will die and then I will marry the girl. But the point is the fact that he mentioned the father already indicates that the ma'akev here, the thing that drove the nether, was the father. Right, so now, if the father's no longer there, the nether may not be relevant to anyone. That's what Rav Meir says. It's an implicit tonight. That's what Rav Huna explained to Mishnah. That's the easy way to explain it. Now, Rav Yochanan gives another explanation. This is where we come into the issues. Rav Amar, Kvar Meis, Ukvar Asat Shuvah. He already had died, or he already had done Shuvah, Ka'amrin and Lay. It's a case where he takes the nether, he says, I will not marry this girl because her father is dead. Then they say to him, you know what? The father's not alive. There's no father's not there anymore. Says, I won't go to this house because there's awful dog inside. They go, well, you know, listen, the dog died before you took the nether. So in all these cases, what? It's not a case of no lud. It's a case that his nether is betos. His nether was premised on a mistaken, right, assumption that either the father was the problem or that the dog was still there. So that's commonly. So what's the problem with Yochanan? Then why are we using the word no lud? The word no, this isn't no lud. This is just the exact opposite of no lud. This is something that's present at the time that he took the nether. So why is he using the term nolad? Now, this is how the Rishonim, we have three explanations of the Rishonim, how to explain Rabbi Yochanan's position. And we're actually going to come out that, according to the Rishonim, the Rebbe may be saying something totally opposite of what we would have thought. Right, so let's go in order, I guess we'll go in logical order. We'll start with the Rosh. Right, about what's going on in Rabbi Yochanan. Right now. Ukvar Meis, look in the Rosh, Ukvar Meis. So one of the issues that we hear is, do you need Hataras Chachamim here? Do you need, when the Mishnah says, when Rav Meir says, that these are like Nolad, if you say it's a Tznai, right, it's Tznai in the Nether, then the Nether should undo itself, by itself, because of the Tznai. Do you need Hataras Chachamim or not? So that's part of it. So Ukvar Meis, if you look in the Rosh, can you guys find that Ukvar Meis? It's in the last one. Yeah. Okay, good. Ukvar Meis. Amalo, Ukvar Meis Aviyo, Ukvar Sanchuba, Hilkach. Havi neder tos mi ikara. Right, its underlying neder is a tos. Vachi perish demas nisan. This is the explanation of the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan. Yesh dvarim shem kenolad. Klomar, sh'asrum chachamim kenolad. Apa pi she'enan kenolad. They aren't kenolad. right? The Gozar Rabbi Meir. Listen to this. You never read this mission. Rabbi Meir was Gozar Rabbi Meir Meskvar Atulomes. The way the Russians explain the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir is the Machmir in our Mishnah. Alright, we read the Mishnah that what Rabbi Meir is the Mekil. He's saying they're like Nolad, but they're not Nolad. So therefore it's Mutter. But the Chum say Mosrim, right? The Chum say, no way! They're not Modeh because they say it is Nolad. That's the simple way to read the Mishnah. The way the Rush is reading the Mishnah, that it's the exact opposite, right? He's saying that when Rabbi Meir said, when Rabbi Yochanan says Kvar Mace, or Kvar Sachuba, that means that it isn't Nolad. And Rabbi Meir is saying it is Nolad. Even though Inam Nolad, they are Nolad. I mean that he's saying that it's a gezeira. Rabbi Meir is making a gezeira. Even though this is not Nolad, that you're not allowed to be Matan Neder in this case. And the Chachamim aren't loaded to him. It's the exact opposite of how we would have read the Mishnah. So if you say this, the gods of Rabbi Meir Meis Kvar Atulomes. The Chachamim Motim Lo Gazrinan Meis Kvar Atulomes. They don't go there in a case where he hasn't died yet, for a case where he already has died. Hilkach Neder Tos Hu Miyikara Vahafilu Hatara Lo Bayim. The nether toast, and therefore he does not require hataras nedarim, right? Whereas the other possibility is the Rosh says in the first case, according to Rav Huna, where it's a tnai, he suggests that it's possible that you would need hataras nedarim. The nafkamina between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan here is whether you need hataras nedarim. Rav Huna says that it's a nether, that there's an implicit tnai here. Says even though it's an implicit tnai, it's not so obvious that it's a tnai, and therefore you need hataras pechamim. Even though it'll work as a petach, you need hataras pechamim. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, where it's already a nedre tos, it was a total mistake. There you don't need hataras pechamim. A nedre tos is not a neder at all. You don't need hataras nedarim here. What's the machlokes in Rabbi Meir and Chachamim according to the Rosh? Is that it? The Chachamim say there is no gzeira atu. There is no gzeira atu kvar meis. And Rabbi Meir says, I want to make a gzeira. Maybe the one time he won't be died beforehand, and they'll try to be matan neder, and that won't be right. That's made the Rosh learns.
Actually, it's better than me that way.
Okay, we'll see now. Tosfos reads the mission the exact opposite way. So let's look at Tosfos over here. V'Rab Yochanan Kvar Meis. It's the last Divya Maskel and Tosfos here. Rab Yochanan Kvar Meis. Vavi Neder B'Tos U'Mutar B'Lo HaFara. I think it means Hatara, right? V'Achi Kamer Rabbi Meir. Yesh Dvarim Shedoma L'Nolad D'Doma Ki'ilu Meis Akara Neder. It's almost as if he died after the Neder, because he only finds out about the Neder. D'Ika L'Mitzeh, people don't make the sale. V'Apilu Hachi Lo Chashinan. We don't worry about it. We don't make such a gezeira. V'Chavim Ostrim D'Chashinan D'Bo Mechav Meis Akara Neder V'Kim Gazrinan K'mash Tshuva Ato Heichad Lo Asa Tshuva. So who's making the gzeira here? According to their Tosfos, it's the exact opposite of the Rosh. Rabbi Meir is saying, it looks like Nolat, because it's almost, he only finds out about the mace afterwards. But when it's not Nolat, we're not going to make any gzeira here. They'll come and say, no, we're not Moses, Rabbi Meir. We will make a gzeira to Nolat. So he reads the Mishnah, exact opposite. Rabbi Meir is still the Mekil in our Mishnah, which is the Pashtei, the Mishnah, sounds like the Rabbi Meir is the Mekil here, in the Chumim Lomodim Lo. And he reads this, that what? Rabbi Meir says, no gzeira here. Even though it's not Nolad, we're not going to make any gzera up to Nolad, that maybe it will come to Nolad, because it looks a little like Nolad. And the Chachamim say, no, we're not Mother to you, we think it looks like Nolad, and therefore we're going to make a gzera up to Nolad. Right?
You like the Rosh
Hashanah way better.
It just seems to make more sense. In other words, the Israelites are taking all of their things, the halacha, and treat them as they know that, as if they know that. They're not know that. Really, they're not know that.
Right. Okay. It's fair. And, the Russia obviously felt that way too, so. You're in good company. You're good company. Now, the Ron reads it a third way, so here we go for the Ron. Alright, and then we can go on in the Gemara. So the Ran has a problem because the Ran doesn't. And the Ran reads over here that he explains that Nasa Kesola Nidra B'Davar Acher, and therefore he doesn't read Hataras Nedarim. He reads in Rav Huna that you don't need Hataras Nedarim. Right. So as opposed to the Rosh, who says that Rav Huna needs Hataras Nedarim, Rav Yochanan does not need Hataras Nedarim. Right. The Ran says that if you're going to Rav Huna, you don't need Shelech Skafam because it's Kesola Nidra. Now, in Rabbi Yochanan, listen to this last round here. Rabbi Yochanan Mark Kvar Meis, Kvar Sachuva Kamrina. Kovar, Shemes Kodim Nitro, Havli Neder Tos. Vitzorochi on the Rabbi Yochanan. Hechen Tani, Yesh Varm Shehen Kanolet. Tkevin Kvar Meis, Lod No Domi Lenolet Kval. The Ran leaves it in the Tzorochion. So he obviously saw the Rush and the Tosfos. And he said, I don't understand what the word Nolet's doing in the Mishnah. They come up with this gzeira atu was nola da da da. The Ran just says tzarchiun. I don't understand why nola is even relevant in the case according to the member of Rabbi Yochanan. Right, so that's difficult. He leaves Rabbi Yochanan but tzarchiun. Right now, let's go on to the Gemara. See, the Gemara asks the question, meiti Rabbi Abba.
He didn't say it is nola. He says kin nola.
Right. Right, but what is Nolad even? There's no relevance of Nolad here. It's Nidre Tos. It's mistaken nether. It has nothing to do with Nolad.
Well, in a certain respect, when a person finds out that they made a mistake,
afterwards,
it's information that he never knew before.
Right, that's right. There is Nolad, but that is what the Rosh and Tosos are saying. Rosh and Tosos are saying exactly what you're saying, which is it looks enough like Nolad that we have to be goes there to a real case of Nolad. That's what they're saying, what you're suggesting. Now, the Ran is aware of the Rush, is aware of the Rush and Tosfos, because we've seen him in many places quote them, right, or quote their opinions at least, right, and the fact is that he did not accept that explanation here, that he felt that it wasn't, that was not what we're, it doesn't seem to be that there's zero utu here, right, it's not, it seems to be that they're arguing about, at least in the Mishnah, practically the Mishnah, that they're arguing about a case here that is, that look like Nolad, I mean that there's something that is borderline Nolad or not Nolad. And the Chachamim say it's not, it's, that it is Nolad, and the Rebbe Meir says it's not Nolad, and it doesn't seem that there's any Zera in the Mishnah or sorts. But anyway, I'm just pointing it out because now the Gemara has a question, and depending on whose opinion you have here, it makes a difference what the question is. Beiti Rabbi Abba. Right, so Rabbi Abba asks a question. Konim Sheni no Siluklonit Ti'ura. We'll marry this ugly woman. Barina, turns out that she's not so ugly. Right? And now Shkora, this, right, and we'll marry this, dark complexion or black woman, Barihi, Libana. Turns out she's of a lighter complexion. Kipsara, she's short, Barihi, Akuka. Turns out she's tall. Mutarba. He's allowed to marry her. Lo mipneshi ka'ura benasit, not because she was ugly and became pretty. Shkora benasit Libana, that she was black and became white. Tura benasit, because she was short and got tall. Right? Ella, shanether toast. What's the reasoning? That he was wrong. His nether was premised on misinformation, on a wrong assumption. Now this is a Mishnah, it's the next Mishnah on Samach Vav and Aleph, we'll get to it. So that's a problem of Nidre Tos, right?
The first one seems a little different than the other ones, because the first one is subjective, and beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Black to white, white to black, there's no
security. Right.
But it just it doesn't seem like a completely like the other ones.
Okay, all right, there are the Rishonim jump on the second one because of that, and then based on that, go to the first one. And we'll see in a second what does that mean. Now, so what's the question here? Bish, lama the Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, it makes sense. Tamar Nasa kid tola nidro bedavar. It's like his nether was tola nidro bedavar, Tana tola nidro bedavar, Tana nether toast. There are two different. Our Mishnah is talking about tola nidro, the implicit tonight. The Mishnah on Samach Vav and Aleph that we just quoted is talking about nidre toast. So you have two different reasons for undermining a nether. One is implicit deny, one is Nidre Tos. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan Mark Bar Mace, Ufar Satchuva, Lama Lamin the Mitnei Tre Zimne Nether Tos. Why do I have to mention twice Nether Tos? Once in the Mishnah, that our Mishnah, and once in the Mishnah Samach Vav and Aleph. It's the exact same case. Put them together in the Mishnah. It's one reason, it's one problem. Kasha. You might lose it as a Kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Right, so now, who's the question here on? If you look at the Rush, we said what? According to the Rush, right? What do we say about the Rush? The Rush says that who's the Machmer in our Mishnah? The Machmer in our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Right? So Rabbi Meir says that we are Gozer Atu, right? So now the Rush says, the Mishnah further on, the Ode, Afilu Rabbi Meir Molde Bahachta Lekaman. Even Rabbi Meir agrees to what we say later on, the Mishnah on Samach Vav Aleph, Ta'achu Gozer Rabbi Meir Meis Kvar Atu Meis. Acharkach, aval kaman lo shayach lemigzer, hayta levana to nasid levana. Acharkach, the mitzvah lo shviyachi. Why would you ever make a gzeira, right? That a person, right? That she's already white, in the case that she will become white, right? He says that is not shviyach. So there's no reason for Rabbi Meir to be gozer, right? We said according to the Rush, Rabbi Meir's gozer on Mishnah of Kfar Meis, where he already died, up to a case where he might die in the future, and then it'll be nolad. So if that's the case, why is he goes in the case of Levana and Shchora Nasa Levana Saravas and Ukra? Says because that's an unlikely scenario that the fact changed. Right? That's more likely that it happened already and he just didn't know about it. But you're gonna say, oh, we're gonna go there up to a case where she was short and became tall, or she was black and became white, those are just not realistic scenarios to be posed there for. So even Rabbi Meir will admit in that case, because who does the Rush think was the Machmer in our Mishnah? It is Rabbi Meir. That's the question here in the Gemara. According to Tosfos, what's the question going to be here? On the Rabbanan. Right? Because the Rabbanan are the ones who go there in our Mishnah. Right, the time of low pliki be rabbanon behach the orav nimtzei chinaya. Those shach mizr atu hecha shein anah b'shas aneder shuv nasis naya. Well, hecha the ikal mizr atu meis asu tshuva havinolad. So you see that the rush jumped on which case? The rush jumped. I think Shaul, this is to your point a little bit. The rush jumped on the case of levanan shchora. He says the reason that Rabbi Meir's not gozer over there is because that's a very unlikely scenario that we have to be gozer for something in the future like that. Tosos, on the other hand, says, well, the first case here is ka'ora na'a. It's unlikely that a woman who's ugly will become pretty. Right? That's an unlikely scenario. Since that's an unlikely scenario, then what? We don't allow you to, but the chamim will not be gozer in that case, because according to Tosos, it's the chamim that are gozer. According to the Ran, right, there is a different issue, is the issue here, and the Ran just says the same thing. The Adam Ra, asui laso tshuva. A bad person does tshuva. It's the last wide line in the Ran. The other rasul does tshuva. Vasu the most, and a person normally dies, right? Which is interesting because the Gemara clearly says that mace is nola because it's not shviyah. And here the Ran saying that mace is, but a person dies. Hilkam mondim dato kiyamar shavir rakhos man shavir gemar mashen kim beisha keura as in asu leot naeh. Hilkam lo yevad dato shu yu meuteret lo kshei naeh. That's the Rashi bazel. And Inami he brings another interpretation that. The way he framed the nether here was different. Because Inami Yamar Hakish Ani no se isha ploni shehi keura, right? That she is ugly, Tani Shabir Ra. Same way he said that her father is bad, Hakanami Dimash Kozman Shi Kura. Baha came to Ploni Kiura, he defined her, Tamar Lo Mashma Katola Nidra Badavara Khafam. Batikram Shubana. It's not like he was being told as Nidro in anything. Right, so the question over here, according to the Ran, there's two possibilities of why our Mishnah is different than the Mishnah on Tzomach Vavan Al. One is similar to the Rush and Tosfos over here, what? That it's a problem, that there's a difference between the likelihood of the scenario coming up. Right, a person dying and a person doing tshuva are much more likely in a case of a ugly person becoming pretty or a black person becoming white. It doesn't just much more unlikely scenarios. And that's what they say, that there's no reason to be gozer, or the Ran says there's no reason to be tol nidro in these cases. But the Ran says, well, what about the difference here between, right, our case over here and the Mishnah further on? He brings another interpretation from Rav Shmuel HaChacham HaGadol. And that is what? If he said, Shani no se isha ploni, shehi ki'ura, that he explained that he was told that it's not in it, then it would make sense. V'atina shavira, hakanami mash kozman shehi ki'ura. Of a hacha came into ploni ki'ura ki'amar, says she is ugly, right? Then, lo mashma ketola nidro badover. It's not sounding like he's told his nidra. So that should explain the difference between our Mishnah and the Mishnah further on.
It's what?
The toast. Because he's defining who she is. It's not saying that I'm not marrying her because she is ugly. That would be tola nidro, right? But rather he's saying she is ugly. Alright? I'm not marrying her because she is ugly, right? Not because, but she is ugly, therefore I won't marry her. Meaning that he's saying an objective fact about her, rather than saying the reason I'm not marrying her is because of this. So one would be tola nidro, one would be nidre tos. Because whether he's defining the object or conditioning it on that object will make a difference in the case here. And that's how he explains the difference in the two Mishnayos. Alright? Alright, new Mishnah. We're good. Ba'od Amar Rabbi Meir, Kotzkin lo min ha-kotzim shebetorah, allowed to give Talmud Pasuk in the Torah, Rami lo, Ili ayte yodeya shatahu ver alo tikom v'lo titor, if you knew you were going to violate, you know, lo tikom v'lo titor, not taking revenge by taking this nether, avalo tisnat achiko bilchorecha, not having bad feelings about your friends, v'ahavakta l'reacha kamocha, v'chayach kakamach, all these love them in the Torah that you might violate by taking such a nether, were you aware of this? Would you have taken the nether? Had you thought about this? Right, what about Chaya Chiklai Makshu on the Eve? He became poor, Ben Atei Yechol Lepar Naso, and you can't support him now. Samar Yilah Hiti Yodeya Shu Kain, had I known this, why did he know there? Harizem Mutar. He says such a thing, then he is Mutar. So first of all, right, we had earlier on in the Gemara that we're not allowed to frighten a person. You can't tell him, you know, the Iyumim, that if you knew that people taking the Dorim, the Torah, that Banim Mason, you know, if they don't keep him Banim Mason, that like Rabbi Natan, Skilu Banabama, right? And if he keeps the nether, Skilu, you know, Hikri Valav, Alabama. So before Gemara said rejected, Ragrava and Abayu, they rejected using those because it's a Iyum Gadol. strikes too much fear in him. So the Ran here repeats this principle that he mentioned on the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, that what? That people, when you're talking about big, when you're talking about great principles or things that people see as a big violation, then they will not lie. And they will lie and say that they wouldn't have done the nether. When it comes to a single point mitzvah, people are willing to say, are honest about the fact that they would have violated this mitzvah. This is the fact that you say, lo tikum, lo titor. If a person tells you that he wouldn't have taken the nether had he known this, we can believe him. Why can we believe him? Because if he really felt he would have taken the nether, despite that, he would say it. He's not embarrassed to say he would have violated lo tikum, lo titor. Whereas he is too embarrassed to say that he's not afraid of the fact that nedarim are so bad. Because then in front of a chacham to come and say, I don't really care about all these memorots about nedarim, that is too embarrassing for him. If that's the case, we never know if he's telling the truth. Because it could be that he's only doing it because he's afraid. Whereas by a single point mitzvah, he's willing to lie about it. All right. So Amalei Yehuna bar Kibab Katina, the Rabbanan.
We don't have to assume that he'd be willing to lie about it.
All right. So that Amalei Rehuna bar Rav Katina, the Rabbanan, name a kol d'me'ani, lev alai nafil. Why is he violating Chayak Kikayimach? Right, why? He's saying, wait, just because the guy became poor, it's my responsibility to support him? It's the responsibility of the community to support this honey. Why all of a sudden does the obligation devolve upon me? My dematali lefarnasoba, hadi kuliyam lefarnasalei. Why do I have to be mefarnes him? I can be mefarnes him with everyone else. Or everyone else should be mefarnes him. I'm late. Ani omer, kol nofel, en ofel l'dei gavai tzuka. Those that come fall, don't go to the gavai tzuka first. Alright, so now this again is a multitude of mishonim here about what's going on here. So I'll tell you, first thing is, what does it mean when he says, it's not my obligation, kuli amim mefarnes him late. Everybody else has to obligate him. So most of the mishonim learned here means that it's not my obligation, it's the obligation of the community. And therefore, it's not, therefore why should I have to worry about it? The Ran, on the other hand, learns here, that means that he can say, I give my money to the Gabbai Tzedakah. If the Gabbai decides to give it to this individual, that's not my issue. He can give it to this individual. I'm not violating my nether by him giving it to this individual, because the Gabbai has a choice to give it to whomever he wants. The fact that he chose this individual doesn't mean my money is going directly to this individual. It's going through a third party, and therefore it's okay. That's the way the Ran learns. The second question is, what does it mean? Kol anofel anofel the Gabbai Tzedakah tefillah. The person doesn't go to the Gabbai Tzedakah first. So the Rosh learns over here, that means that if Gabbai needs time to check him out, see if he really needs stucco. So in the interim, there's a waiting period where he's getting approved to be on the, you know, get stucco. When he's getting approved, he has to go to other people, individuals in between. And that time, right, then he's going to come to you, and then that time you are obligated to give to him, because he's not, the community is unable to support him yet. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that, like I think Tosfos learns over here, that the reason that he doesn't, the reason is, oh wait, the Rosh, sorry, that's not, the Rosh says that he doesn't have any ability, that the Gabbaim only come into support when the Krovim don't have enough money to support him. That the Krovim come in first, the Gabbai only stands in when the Krovim don't have enough money. So there is an obligation on the individuals until the Gabbaim assess whether the Krovim have the ability to support him. If they don't have the ability, then the Gabbai stands in. Right? Tosos is, stands over here because, Miyaj, Ani, and the Gabbai, Mefarnasim, Miyaj, Mutala, Yachidim, Mefarnasim, that the Gabbai doesn't take care of him right away. Right, because he comes in, and then maybe it is the Ran who mentions this thing that they have to be Meyayin, or maybe the Rosh somewhere else mentions it. Somebody else, I forgot, one of the other Bishonim mentions that they have to check him out before they start giving him tzedakah. So in these cases, there is this point in time where there's an obligation on the individual to support him where the Gabbai can't stand in, either because the program do it first, or because the way Rashi learns it is that the guy's too embarrassed. He has to go to the Gabbai first. When a person falls on hard times, first he goes to the people that he knows and asks them for a little help. He doesn't make it a community issue yet. Only once he's so far down the line that he can't get help anymore does he go to the community to get help. All right, so in each of these cases, there will be a violation of B'chayimah. Okay, next Mishnah. Proksim la'adam k'subas ishto. You can use the k'sub of his wife as a ma'isa v'echach nadar mi'ishto hana. Right, that he was no there enough from his wife. And her ksuba was worth 400 dinar. Says, pay up. I'm a little Rebbe, let me be honest with you. Our father left us 800 dinarim. We're two brothers. We had to split the Yerusha. I got 400. He got 400. Lodaya shetitel himatayim. Himatayim. She should get 200, I'll get 200, let's split it, you know, I mean, this is, I know, look, it's a divorce, but, you know, why don't we let, if she takes all 400, I have nothing left. Amalei Rabbi Akiba, afilat ha-mocher se'ar roshla, even if you sell your hair, I know, atan ton notain la ksuba, so you're going to have to pay this ksuba. So amalei ita yitzu yodeh shukain, had I known this, why did he know there? I wouldn't take such a nether, but he tira Rabbi Akiba. Rabbi Akiba's mat in the nether. So first of all, what does it mean that you have to sell your hair? Right? This is again the subject of Rishonim here. Some Rishonim say
it's personal experience.
Right. Ah, so, very good. So I've had a personal experience selling his hair.
His wife.
All right. So she didn't. But I will say something about Rabbi Akiva here. Exactly. I was going to say this, that Rabbi Akiva said that. I don't think it's the reason, but I think that Rabbi Akiva might have been poking a little at the guy, saying, if you sell me your hair, meaning because Rabbi Akiva was bald, right, that's why I use this idea. Selling, if you sell your hair, meaning that, you know, if you sell me the hair, so now I have hair, that's not going to do the trick here. Because Rabbi Akiva was bald, very good, strong. So I was thinking about that when I was praying to that, that maybe that was why Rabbi Akiva used that ploy. I wouldn't say that's the reason, but is it something that might have been interesting in the conversation? You think about it, context. That might have been the context in which it is. But why is he saying to him, you have to sell your hair? So that's what Gemara says. Two possibilities of what he's saying to him. Either he's saying to him that even if that's the only thing you can live on is by selling your hair, you pay the ksuba and you gotta live on it. Or the other possibility is that even if you have to sell your hair, right, to keep paying this ksuba, or to pay out this ksuba, the ksuba is not forgiven until you deal with this ksuba. Man, deal with it. So Metalkalim, the Gemara asks the question, Metalkalim, mi mishnatei the ksuba. Since when are Metalkalim, ksuba to a ksuba? So Amar says, why? Over here, what are we talking about? Hair. Hair is Metalkalim. And since when is that Meshubah, the Ksuba? Samar Vayi, Karka Shava, Chet Meo Dinar. And we're not talking about a case here that it's money that he has here, hair or money. Right? We're talking about a case that it was land, that he was Yorish land from his father that was worth 800 Dinar. And that's what was Meshubah, the Ksuba. Ba'akani, say, Arosho. Samar says, well, that works well for the money aspect of it. What about the hair aspect of it? My says, Sarosho Metaltaleu, Aki Gamar, Akilu Atamokher Sarosh Baba Ochel, even if you sell your hair and eat, right, then you're gonna have to pay our ksuba. Shmami no, a massage in the Bachov. So it sounds from this that we don't, it's Maklokis in the Gemara, in Bamitsia, whether a, Bachov, if he's paying back his debts, we go to collect from his land, or do we have to leave him over enough to live with? I mean, when a Balkov is chayim to another person and there's collateral, do we go in and take all his collateral and say, too bad, you're on your own now? Or do we have to leave him to take chayav, enough for him to produce a living out of it? My focus in
the Torah refers to this, if he only has, only has one beged, whatever, you have to return him the beged.
Right, that's while it's being held as collateral, not when the collateral has already been taken. So maybe you have to take when he has to repay the loan, he has to repay everything, and then mitzvah, you'd have to give him something, but not that it's an obligation. So now we can prove from this that he doesn't have to leave anything. Why? Because he's telling you, if you have to sell your hair to eat, you don't get anything. So it sounds like he gets nothing. Right? So Gemara says, no. Yeah, he says, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, lo mar shem karen shtark ksuba. It's not to teach you that he doesn't get anything left over. It's come to teach you that, as opposed to an erchin, Gemara actually learns this din from Erechin. Right? What is the din by Erechin? The din by Erechin is if you don't have enough money to pay it up for your Erech, the Beis Din assesses how much you could pay. You pay it, and then you're not obligated to pay the rest. And then if you're high at five slime in Erechin, right?
The coin is it.
The coin, right? I'm sorry, he goes to the coin, they assess what he can afford, then he pays it up, right? He pays whatever that amount is, and he's potter from the rest. If he gets rich later on, he does not have to pay the rest. I mean, that was the assessed value at that time. So what I'm saying here, no, that's not the case with Ksuba. Even though he's given her all her money, all his money, and then that was all he could pay now, we don't consider it as if he discharged his obligation to pay the Ksuba and rip up the Ksuba. The Ksuba will always be there, and if he gets rich later on, he's got to pay the Ksuba. So that's what it means, Afilus Aroshka. Even if you have to sell your hair, that does not hinder you from paying up the Ksuba over here. You have to pay the Ksuba even when you get rich later on, or even when you find some way to get a living. You're going to have to pay for this Ksuba. And that's what the Gemara, that's what Rabbi Akiva was after over here. Not to teach you that you don't have to leave him over any Kdei Chayot. That's still a Machlok Ksuba Metzia. This is not a Hashkreya in that. This is just an issue that the Ksuba is not Batel just because you can't afford to pay your Ksuba. No, stop here.